T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My goal is to achieve a better work-life balance. My goal is to see as much of Minnesota and the Midwest and the nation and the world as I can while I'm on this planet, while I'm still drawing a breath. My goal is to develop a better relationship with my Creator, to strengthen my faith. My goal is to be a better husband. My goal is to be a better dad. My goal is to be a better boss. Look, we all have goals, right? We all fall short most of the time. And it turns out we may not be doing it right. And so I was intrigued by some of the ideas that Scott Detman has. He's an HR expert, and he's joining us now on CCO to talk about goals and how we can improve, how we look at goals and how we improve, evolve over time. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
What got you going on goals? I'm just curious, where did this originate?
I think goal setting has always been an important thing for me in my career as I've developed. I was an athlete growing up, and so I think, you know, there's always some goal setting there, but it's prevalent now in my organization, Avenica. We work to help people transition from education into the workplace, and that's a major goal for a lot of people, getting that first job. So goal setting is paramount in everything that we do.
So tell us a little bit more about what you do. I'm just curious. I mean, if you go to college, we keep hearing the labor market is tight. I mean, if you have a pulse and you have good grades and a decent resume, you should be able to find a job. But it's more than that, right?
Absolutely. There's some significant gap between what happens in education and then what is required in the workplace. Goal setting is a good example of that. The differences between those two worlds is pretty stark. But in addition to that, there's a kind of a mismatch in supply and demand as it relates to talent. So it's really easy to get a job if you've got lots of great skills and you're in the right areas and the right industries. But for a lot of people coming out of school, it's not that easy, right? If you're trying to get that right first job, it can be a really challenging thing to take on.
Absolutely. You say something here that caught my eye. You say you need to fail to grow. And I've heard that from gurus in Silicon Valley, this whole idea of failing forward. If you're not failing, it often means you're not trying hard enough. Can you riff a little bit more about failure and how we should embrace our inner failure?
Absolutely. I think the key there is to strive for more than you know for sure that you can capture, right? So,
okay.
If you're not doing things that push the boundaries of your comfort zone, if you're really not trying to strive for more, you're always going to fall a little bit short. So, when it comes to failure, I think it's less about the idea of being a failure and really about the idea of failing. In the interest of continual growth, right? You're taking chances, you're putting yourself out there, you're announcing your intentions, and you're taking actions to go pursue that. And you're going to fail sometimes, but instead of dwelling on that, learn from it, grow from it, and dust yourself off and then keep trying.
The act of failure does not make you a failure. It means that you're trying, you're pivoting, you're experimenting, and the dirty little secret, and I share this with my staff, we have a couple of weather tech businesses that we're running. Mm-hmm. And, nobody has the answer key. And if anybody pretends to have the answer key, they're trying to get one past you, because we're all sort of making it up as we go. But I'm curious, somebody driving home listening to CCO right now wants to do a better job of setting achievable, realistic goals. What advice would you have for them, Scott?
Well, I'll steal a little bit from Stephen Covey and say that, begin with the end in mind. Have a really clear idea of what that goal is. You know, start there. But then I'm a big fan of also putting it on paper, right? Putting it on paper, announcing it to the world, sharing it with someone, doing those sorts of things makes it more real. And then really start the process of reverse engineering that goal into smaller goals, daily action items that you can work towards. The goals that are accomplished are those that are worked towards every single day. And, you know, health and nutrition apps have done a really good job of creating some of those touch points on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But you can do the same thing in, you know, with career goals or financial goals or family goals. You just have to be very intentional about the choices you make and you know, measure yourself on a daily basis.
I'm just trying to get through the day. I got my post-it notes and I scribble down all the stuff, you know, my to-do stuff. And for me, a good day is when I can get through most of the things on my post-it notes, which doesn't seem like a very smart way to run your life. But, you know, long-term aspirational goals, what I want to do at a certain age, that all seems like a luxury. I think many of us just trying to get through the week, pay our bills, keep our kids out of jail. Any other, you know, last minute advice when it comes to goals? I think one of the questions I have, it's so easy to beat yourself up. Let's say you reach a big birthday, you turn 40 or you turn 50 and you look in the mirror and you say, doggone it, I really hope that by the time I reach this age, I would have done X, Y, and Z. And so it's really easy to, I think, to beat yourself up and say, you know, what do I have to do? What advice would you have for setting realistic goals?
Yeah, you know, I think avoiding the urge to punish yourself is really important. And setting goals that you can, you know, build a cohesive plan to go tackle, right? So trying to make things that are a little bit more short term, trying to make things that are stepping stones towards this larger grandiose goal. And again, tracking things on a daily basis, having, you know, I used to have a football coach that would say, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're never staying the same. And so, you know, assess yourself on a daily basis. Did you do things that got you closer to your goals or did you not? Right. And you're going to fail sometimes. But again, don't be too hard on yourself. We're human beings and this is part of the process. You just got to keep striving and keep setting those goals and keep working towards them.
But again, if you want to be a better husband, a better father, you want to advance in your job, you better be setting some goals, right?
Absolutely. You know, without goals and without having that idea of what you want to pursue and having a plan to get there, you won't get there, right? You know, if you're leaving it up to chance, that's not a great strategy. So really taking some time to think about those goals and then building a plan that coincides with that is crucial to achieving anything.
Avenica is the company. It's an education to work platform. It's fascinating, and I'm going to do a little more digging on Avenica. But, Scott, thank you for the pep talk. I needed that. I bet you some of our listeners needed that. And wish you well with your career, and thanks for cheering us up.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Scott Detman. Very cool. All right, he cheered you up. I'm now going to do the opposite. Look, it's October. It sometimes snows in October. We can get all four seasons conveniently in one month. October can be a manic month, and we're going to get a taste of some of that atmospheric insanity coming up in the coming days. Weather therapy up next. It's Foreigner, right?
Yeah, that's Foreigner.
My wife is actually related to Lou Gramm.
You're like, what? You just made that
no,
up.
No, she is. Like fourth cousin removed, I mean, distant relative. And we keep waiting for an invitation from Lou Gramm to a concert. We wait by the phone. Does anybody wait by the phone anymore? No. I guess not. All right. It's going to be chilly by the weekend. I don't know if it'll be cold as ice. Parts of the Dakotas will be cold as ice. Just got an update from the USDA on crop progress. They send these out every week. Minnesota corn, 17 days behind last year, 15 days, more than 2 weeks behind the five-year average. Yikes. Because it's been so wet. And I do feel for the farmers. According to Mark Seely, the first 9 months of this year, the soggiest on record statewide. And by the time 2020 closes out, Mark Seely predicts that the entire decade will be the wettest in state history. Rochester already shattered its annual record, 46.8 inches of rain. So we just can't dig ourselves out of this wet pattern. We're going to get more rain on Thursday. Doesn't look like much. And I think most of next week will be dry. So hopefully Mother Nature cooperating a little bit more the next couple of weeks. A couple of things that caught my eye before we get to the blizzard. By the way, there will be no blizzard in the Twin Cities, okay? Please tell your friends and neighbors and even utter strangers that we're not going to get a blizzard here. At some point we will, but it will not be Friday and Saturday. Not here. If you're driving up towards Fargo-Moorhead, certainly Grand Forks, farther west into Bismarck, yeah, there it's going to be crazy winter. It's going to look like late January. High winds, already winter storm watches in effect, but not here in the metro. We get a little bit of snow at the tail end, Saturday into Sunday morning, light snow and flurries. Most of it will melt on contact, air temperatures just above freezing. So more of a decorative snow, enough to look out the window and go, oh, look, first flakes of the season. But I don't think we're going to get much accumulation, just a coating of slush here. Best chance of that coating first thing Saturday morning and first thing Sunday morning. Whatever falls will be gone by Monday, Tuesday of next week as temperatures shoot back up into the 50s. A couple of things I saw. California, they are pre-planning a statewide power outage. 2 million Californians could be without power for as long as a week in Northern California. PG&E, the big utility, is going to go ahead and preemptively switch off the electricity because of the risk of hot, dry Santa Ana winds and fire. And again, PG&E, you know, facing huge fines from the campfire. Turned out that one of their utility lines helped to spark that blaze. The deadly 2018 campfire, a state investigation found after a power line touched nearby trees. So now, to cut down on the risk of these massive fires, they turn off the electricity for huge chunks, one county at a time. So not a perfect solution, but more than ever, it makes me wonder about solar and wind and coming off the grid or not being totally dependent on the grid. The other thing, you remember Hurricane Dorian, which sat over the Bahamas, winds over 200 miles an hour. Never seen a storm stall for 36 hours as a Category 5. Rescuers found a puppy alive in the rubble of a collapsed building in the Bahamas 1 month after Hurricane Dorian ravaged the islands. Members of Big Dog Ranch Rescue found the dog, whose name is now appropriately Miracle, last Friday in Marsh Harbor using infrared detection from a drone. This poor puppy, a Miracle, was nearly crushed to death after a building collapsed, trapping him under broken glass, an air conditioning unit, and building debris. The one-year-old mixed breed had been surviving only on rainwater and was skeleton thin, unable to walk. Despite his dire condition, Miracle greeted rescuers with a wagging tail after a month in the rubble. And thankfully, Miracle, the puppy, expected to make a full recovery and go up for adoption. So a little bit of good news coming out of a really desperate situation there. When we come back, does your car fart out loud when you're going less than 18 miles an hour? Well, there's one car brand that is about to do that. That's coming up next.
Beyond the Headlines.
You know what that's from? Of course you know what that's from. DJ Dave Josephson.
That's from Monty Python.
Yes.
The fake coconut horse hoof.
That's right. Yeah. They couldn't afford a real horse, So they simulated a horse.
Because it's cheaper to pay somebody to simulate the horse than to have the horse.
It's funnier, too. It's a lot funnier. One of my favorite movies of all time, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So here's the deal. Yeah, you can keep that going. Tesla cars will soon make farting noises in the name of safety. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says he wants his company's cars to offer custom horn and movement sounds in the future, and suggested that sounds will include goats bleeding, farts, and even coconuts. So here's the deal. Starting September of next year, electric cars sold in the U.S. will have to emit an artificial noise when traveling under 18.6 miles an hour. You know why that is, DJ?
Because they don't make enough noise to warn pedestrians that they're approaching.
People walk out in front of electric vehicles, they can't hear them.
No, wait, this isn't available yet.
No.
For cars, but you do own a Tesla.
I do.
Well, I swear I heard a fart coming from your Tesla.
That was not
earlier,
my car.
Earlier this week.
That was not my vehicle.
But you say the software is not out yet, so that begs a question.
Might have been Jordana. She's not here to defend herself. Sorry, Jor. So here's the deal. Tesla started adding this sound to the Model 3 last month. The U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration recently proposed new rules surrounding the feature that would allow drivers to choose their own vehicle sounds. So under 18.6 miles an hour, it has to be creating some sort of a sound. There's no internal combustion engine. Electric cars make no sound. A little bit of road noise, but...
not much.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was vaguely interesting. So your choice between goats or farts. Hopefully they have more options.
Well, you can upload your own, I think. You can pick your own noise.
Can you?
You could have the sound of...
my wife screaming at me?
Jordana, you know, introducing the show.
Very bad idea.
You talked just a minute ago about the record amount of rainfall we've gotten here in Minnesota and lots of places. And the city of Pullman, Washington, in Washington State, is no exception to that. They've had some historic flooding there. And unfortunately, the city has been fined $2,700 for violations stemming from a historic flood they had in April. The fire department rescued 22 people, including an infant, with the use of a front-end loader.
Oh.
There were multiple situations. One was from a gas station where they rescued 8 people, including a woman who was having a diabetic emergency. However, the Washington Department of Labor and Industries cited the city $900 per violation. There was 3 violations because of this flooding on April 9th, totaling $2,700. Now, the city's finance department paid the fine and is not disputing, but a spokesperson said, "Did our officers and firefighters and maintenance crews do their best under extenuating circumstances? Yes, they did." So it doesn't sound like they're too apologetic for using the front-end loader, but they were fined and apparently had to pay $2,700.
I don't get that. When you're in an emergency situation, you use whatever you have at hand, whatever's going to get the job done. I give him credit for using a front-end loader. I think that's a creative solution. It saved those people.
I know.
It seems kind of nitpicky now to go back and...
I think there was people in the bucket of the front-end loader that was lifting up to get them, which is how I used to pick apples at my grandpa's farm on
Did
the
you?
Tractor. Yeah, oh yeah.
We'd True story.
Lift up on the tractor and... pick the Harrelsons from the top branches, yeah. We didn't get fined for that, though, I guess. You know,
not yet.
Yeah, the authorities weren't there.
They're listening. Expect something in the mail. So what not to do, a Texas man, did you see this? He robbed a bank to pay for a wedding ring. A Texas man is accused of robbing a bank because he couldn't pay for his wedding. Heath Bumpus. Heath
You're
Bumpus.
That up.
No, it's his name.
Okay.
He turned himself in last Friday, 2 hours after he robbed the Citizens State Bank in Groveton, Texas, a day before he was set to get married. The bank is only 500 feet away from the sheriff's office in the small town north of Houston. He basically stated that he was getting married tomorrow and he didn't have enough money for a wedding ring that he wanted to buy, and he needed to pay for the wedding venue. Again, he posted this video message on Facebook. apparently this guy, Heath Bumpus, went to the bank and demanded money, indicated that he had a weapon. And here's the thing. The sheriff's office posted pictures from the bank's surveillance video and a description of his vehicle on social media to see if the public could identify who this guy was. Somebody did. You know who it was? His fiance turned him in. She recognized him from the images and convinced him to surrender peacefully. He was placed under arrest and is now in jail. So they're going to have to push the wedding back a little bit.
Yeah, if the wedding's still on. That's the question.
Well, I don't. You think that's grounds for walking away?
Well, I mean, I don't. If you haven't tied the knot yet, you don't really need grounds. You can just do that.
You don't think he's the one? Huh?
I don't know. I would highly question that if those are the actions he took.
Well, poor choices, right? We all make poor choices. That's a really dumb choice.
But Paul, I'm sure you recognize this song,
Piano Man.
Yeah, Piano Man by
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, who I saw at Target Field here a couple years ago, but of course performs more often at Madison Square Garden. And in a performance at Madison Square Garden in August, Billy Joel spotted a fan in the crowd holding a sign saying, "This is my 100th show."
Whoa.
100th Billy Joel show.
Holy
and
cow.
Apparently on stage, he promised that fan free tickets to his 101st show. So apparently this has happened. Billy Joel gave this guy named Jeff 4 tickets and backstage passes to a recent show. Jeff said it was very generous and that he's been going to Billy Joel shows for over 40 years and estimates that he's spent between $25,000 and $50,000 on Billy Joel tickets. He says, "I equate going to the Garden to a Knicks game, except for when you go to a Knicks game, they might lose." And apparently going to see Billy Joel is always a win, at least for Jeff. And I would agree with that. I love Billy Joel.
Yeah, I do too, but I don't know.
101 times?
That to me, it seems like a cry for help.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, whatever makes you happy, right?
But he got a free 4-pack to his 101st show.
Good grief. All right, I'm going to squeeze this in. A lot of big pumpkins out there, but you can't top what a Connecticut man just grew. The winner of the All-New England Giant Pumpkin Weigh-Off weighs 2,294 pounds. To put that into perspective, one of the lightest cars on the market, the Mitsubishi Mirage, only weighs 2,018 pounds. So it's the weight of a car. 2,294 pounds. The mountainous plant looks like it's seconds away from splitting at the seams. It's that big. So I don't know what you do with a pumpkin that big. I would imagine the pumpkin pie might not be so good, right? Pumpkin that enormous. Like a giant radioactive pumpkin.
I don't think so. By the way, the record pumpkin at our own state fair here was just under 1,000 pounds, so not even half of what that was.
That's respectable. That's big enough.
It's big enough. 971
Big enough.
Pounds,
yeah. All right. We want to get back to Maxie. We got a couple of comments. Mike Max was here in the 3 o'clock hour with some deep thoughts about the Twins season, and he's coming up next. So Twins fans woke up with something of a hangover this morning. Even if you weren't drinking yesterday, there was a little bit of a hangover today. But at 3:10, sports guru Mike Max had some much-needed perspective.
As I get older, the more I realize what it really takes to win championships. And when I started in the business, I started in 87, basically, 86, 87. Guess what happened? The Twins won the World Series. Yeah. Well, this doesn't look so hard.
You got spoiled.
Yeah. And then they won in 91.
Yep.
But the longer I go, the more I realize how hard it is to do that. So from and some of this is the sportscaster in me because you want the audience to be with you during the season. And you give me a competitive season. You just a competitive regular season. And the Twins were more than that this year. And I just think that's more than you can ask for. Yep. I think what they gave this state this year, I mean, they took them in and just hooked them. You know, they took the fan base in, and it became must watch, must listen to, much, you know, talk about. I always sit at the health club. I work out, you know, all the time, and I sit and listen in the corner to see what they're. And I just couldn't believe this year all the conversation about, and did you see Nelson Cruz? You know, whatever it was,
right.
They weren't talking about that in years past, and they gave us bang for the buck. and the home runs became a way of life, and who hit one the last game. It was fantastic. And I was in that locker room last night until almost 1 in the morning. And the players, and I've covered a lot of locker rooms after heartbreaking losses, it didn't feel like a heartbreaking loss. What it felt like was, it's too bad the Yankees are better than us, but we tip our cap. And boy, as they looked around the room, I sure enjoyed playing with you guys this year. You know, Mitch Garber said, that's as much fun as I've ever had playing baseball, you know? And he says, and by the way, everybody was chasing us for a lot of this year, too.
Sure.
So, and all these players, it was you know, Nelson Cruz, you know, he said, told me, I hope they pick the option up on me next year because they've got an option for him. You know, when you hit 308 and 41 home runs, I think they'll pick up the option.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mike Max talking us off the ledge. Appreciate that. Hey, the president is coming to town on Thursday. Minneapolis Police Chief Arredondo has some advice for people that are attending the rally and anybody thinking of protesting at the rally. We'll have his words coming up next hour. That's what's trending right here on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.